Father, we exalt Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Thank you for Jesus. Father, as we open the Word, give us the words to say. May there be open hearts and open ears to hear the Word. May, as our voice echoes through this building and across the airways, I pray that there will be changed hearts and changed lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. I want to talk about a subject that is very, very important to us as Christians. In fact, my father used to say that really, until you understand this, nothing else really works. And that is your identity, who you are. You know, in the world we live in today, a lot of people are trying to identify themselves, and they identify with various things and groups and so forth. And all of that is constantly changing. Many people, you know, try to find their identity in somebody that they admire. I used to get a kick. They don't do it too much anymore, but people used to mock my dad. If you don't know who he was, that was Kenneth E. Hagin, and they used to try to be him, and they would see how far they could get out over the edge of the platform. Anybody ever notice he used to get his feet hanging out, and then he'd do this. I've seen people do that, you know. Even some of them even try to get to sound like him, do his voice, you know, do an impersonation. You know, people identify with different things. Some people just identify with their nationality. You know, I'm an American because I'm from America, or I'm an Okie because I'm from Oklahoma. Some people identify with their past because of their experiences in the past. Some people identify with failure because they've had a failure. You know, some people identify with their surroundings. You know, I was raised in the country, so I'm just a country hick. Others identify what they do. I'm a fireman, I'm a nurse, I'm a preacher, I'm a lawyer, I'm a doctor. You know, and some people identify with the fact that they're dumb because somebody told them as they were growing up, well, you're just dumb, you'll never be anything. And people start identifying with that. You look at me sort of funny, but it's the truth. People start identifying with things. A little boy was in a place of business with his parents, and he was just a terror. He was messing up everything. So one of the workers finally decided to see if she could calm him down before he tore the whole place up. And so she started talking to him, and she said, "Now, what is your name?" The little boy looked at her without hesitation and said, "My name is No Billy." He had been told No Billy so many times, he was identifying himself as No Billy. You know, some things it's good to identify with in the natural. But if you identify yourself with your vocation, that changes when you're no longer in that vocation or retire. If you identify with past experiences, that changes. If you identify with what people say about you, then you can have contradictory statements about you. Now you got to choose which one you want to identify with. The only real constant identification is found in the Word of God. It never changes. What the Bible says you were yesterday, you are today, and you'll be tomorrow. You know, too many people have an identity crisis because something has changed in their life. You know, there was a guy by the name of Gideon, and he let his family tree identify him. Look in Judges 6, Judges chapter 6. This is one of my favorite, one of my favorite things to teach on is identification, who you are, according to the Word of God. Now, if you look at this, I'm going to read this from the NLT. Then the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the great tree at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash and the clan Abiezer. Gideon, son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of a wine press to hide the grain from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." "Sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us up out of Egypt, but now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites?" Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go with strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I'm sending you." "But Lord," Gideon replied, "how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I'm the least in my entire family." The Lord said to him, "I'll be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as you are fighting against one man." The angel here found Gideon, and he was hiding, threshing wheat. You know, Israel had disobeyed God, and he had allowed the Midianites to come in and take over. And now they destroyed the crops, and they had stripped the land. And if they found anybody that had any food, they would take it away from them. And it looked like God had abandoned them, but God was working. Even when they couldn't see it. You know, we sing a song, "He's working when you can't see it." I don't know, I forgot what the words are, but I see some of you shaking your head. You know, he was looking for somebody to lead Israel to victory over their enemies. And he came to Gideon and he said, "Mighty hero." He saw Gideon for what he could be and not what Gideon saw himself as. He saw himself as the least and the weakest. But God identified him differently. You know, often people see themselves according to the things around us, but God sees us according to what the Word of God says about us. You know, you can identify yourself by saying, "Well, I'm the child of so-and-so who was the child of so-and-so who was the child of so-and-so who was the child of so-and-so." And that sounds just like the Bible, doesn't it? You know, the son of so-and-so, the son of so-and-so. And that can either be discouraging or encouraging. And that may be your natural identity, right? I mean, I am the son of Kenneth Hagin. He was the son of Jess Hagin. And you just go on back down the line of lineage. And on my grandmother's side, her name was Drake. And they have traced their lineage all the way back to Sir Francis Drake. So Sir Francis Drake is in my lineage. But what does that mean? It really doesn't mean anything, because your spiritual identity is the most important thing, not your natural identity, your spiritual identity, who you are in Christ. Now, let's let the Word of God speak to us. Go to Genesis 17, 1 through 5. Genesis 17, 1 through 5. And when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I'm El Shaddai, God Almighty. Serve me faithfully and live a blameless life. I will make a covenant with you by which I will guarantee you countless descendants." At that time, Abram fell on his face on the ground. Then God said, "This is my covenant you I will make you a father of a multitude of nations. What's more, I'm changing your name. It will no longer be Abram. Instead, you will be called Abraham, for you will be the father of many nations. Now, see, Abram had a name change. God identified him differently. He identified him with his name so that he could see who he really was. You know, we need to look into the Word of God and consistently believe what the Word of God says to us about who we are. You know, that's when you understand who you are according to the Word of God, the way God sees you, you can be steadfast, and no matter how much pressure is put on you, you can stand steady. You can be unmovable when the challenges come. And all of us will face challenges. We all face challenges, many different. Actually, when you understand who you really are, according to what God has said about you, it helps. It's easier to resist the attacks of the enemy. You know, we need to realize how many people were changed their name and it get given new identity in the Bible. Jacob was changed from Jacob to Israel. Gideon was given an identity from being a nobody to a somebody. Simon was given the name Peter. You know, what God says that you are is important. Now, a lot of people are saying, oh, I wish God would appear to me supernaturally like he did to people in the Bible and tell me who I am. Hey, he has come to you. He has told you who you are right here in the Word of God. Your spiritual identity is who you are in Christ. You know, some people go around trying to be somebody, talking about what they used to be, what they want to be, what they would like to be. You need to learn who you are and say who you are. The most important thing is that we need to realize this one powerful verse. We all know it. We quote it all the time. I'm not telling most of you something you don't know, but you need to be reminded of this so that you would do it more regularly. Peter said, when in his writings, he said, as long as I'm alive, I'm paraphrasing that modern day language, but he said, as long as I'm alive, I'm going to keep reminding you of all of these things. And that's what I'm going to do. 2 Corinthians 5:17, we all know it. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. That's the NLT. The Wade translation says, so if anyone becomes united in Christ, he is a fresh creation. The original conditions have passed away. They have been replaced by new conditions. Another translation says, when someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He's not the same anymore. A new life has begun. All of this happens when you are born again and become in Christ. This shows us a lot of things in this verse. Actually, in the New Testament, there's around 134 verses that tell us about who we are in Christ, whom, and actually there's a little book out there written by a fellow by the name of Kenneth E. Hagin. It's called In Him. Anybody ever read it? In Him? It's a good little book. If you don't have it, you need to get it. You need to read it about once every 2 or 3 months. It reminds you. I'm not talking about who we wish we are. I'm not talking about who we're trying to be. I'm talking about who we are right now. Ephesians 2:4-7 gives us a little better understanding. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you've been saved and raised up together and made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That is, in the age to come, he might show the exceeding richness of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Now, in this verses right here, Paul identifies us, how God sees us. He sees us being made alive in Christ. He sees us being raised up with Christ. He sees us being seated with Christ. You see, we need to learn to see ourselves the way God sees us after we've been born again. This is the way God looks at us. You need to quit looking at yourself the way you are and start looking at yourself the way God says he looks at you from the Word of God. Not what somebody said, not what this guy said or that guy said. What the Bible says about you. You know, when we get a hold of this, really get a hold of this revelation, I mean, it will make us stronger in every area of our Christian life. We'll understand our authority as a believer. In fact, my dad used to say, you really can't understand yourself, the authority of a believer, until you understand who you are in Christ. You know, so many times everybody's wanting to get a new revelation. Hey, we got the revelation right here. Let's look at it, learn it, and live it. You know, everybody want to come up with something new. Hey, if God said it, he meant what he said, so just get a hold of it and run with it. You know, some people say to me, you know, they say, oh man, it's really something that you're the son of Kenneth E. Hagin. And I say, yeah, that's my natural identity, and I'm very proud of it. I'm very proud of my dad. But I have a greater identity in Christ. I'm a new creation in Christ, a child of God, an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. See, these are the things we need to get a hold of and hang on to. This is what'll take you through the fire, through the flood, and everything else, and bring you out on the other side victorious. Everything changes when you start saying, I am. God identified himself to Moses. He said, I am who I am. He said, tell them that I am sent you. I am is a strong word. They're powerful words. These are the words God used to describe himself. These are the words that Jesus used to describe himself when he was challenged. In John 6:48, he said, I'm the bread of life. In John 8:12, he said, I'm the light of the world. In John 10:9, he said, I am the door. In John 10:11, he said, I am the good shepherd. In John 11:25, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. In John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In John 15:1, he said, I am the true vine. I want you to notice, Jesus had no trouble identifying himself, who he was. He said, I am. Saying I am is saying these things will never change. When we begin to think about that, the I am, Jesus said, I am, I am, I am. And then we go to Hebrews 13:8, says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, forever. So the I am that he was back then is still the I am that he is today. You know, what we need to do, we need to begin to say ourselves, I am. I am crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20. I'm a new creation in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21. These are just a few of the things. I mean, there's a whole list of them in that little book. I'm a child of God and God is my Father in Romans 8:17. I am the heir of God and joint heir with Christ. Romans 8:17. I am victorious over all things. 1 Corinthians 15:57. I am more than a conqueror in Christ or through Christ in Romans 8:37. The Pauline revelation, and for you, that's just a theological term for the writings of Paul. In the Pauline revelation, he is the one that gives us the revelation of who we are in Christ through his writings. If we are going to overcome adversity, we have to identify ourselves. Now, you remember a story when Paul was taken prisoner and he was there preaching and he's taken prisoner and they were going to give him a whipping with the whip. And he said something that changed everything. He said, I am a Roman citizen. That Roman commander had put Paul in prison without due process of law, which could have cost him his position and even his life. But when he identified himself as I am a Roman citizen, he gave identification, everything changed. Now the ones that were against him are fighting for him. Because the Jewish people had gotten an uproar, so they just wanted to quiet it down. So they just arrested him. But now they are saying, okay. And they're turning the other way. Why? He didn't pray. He didn't preach them a sermon. He didn't go on a fast. He simply said, I am a Roman citizen. And immediately everything changed. That's why we need to learn how to, when things begin to get bad and things are going bad and the enemy's coming, we need to begin to identify ourselves who we are. I am. Use these and go get some other scripture, but these scriptures. I am. One we need to use is, I have not been given a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind because of who I am in Christ. See, you know, when we get into adversity, we can say, I'm more than a conqueror. Not just a conqueror, I'm more. More. That means that you way out in front, more when you're more. You're more than something. You didn't just a conqueror, you're more than that. You know, in defeat and failure, you can say, and we've been singing about it, I am a victor in Christ Jesus. Paul says that we always triumphed in Christ Jesus. I'm a victor. I always triumphed in Christ Jesus. I always triumphed in Christ Jesus. See, it's important that we learn to use that word, I am, according to the word of God, not according to what you think or what somebody told you. You know, I have been in places where there was a an accident or somebody slipped and fell, and somebody will come up and say, I am a nurse, I am a doctor. Well, when they identify themselves, everybody else that's there trying to, they back out of the way. Why? Because they know this person knows what they're doing. When you begin to identify yourself and say, I am, the devil and all of his cohorts have to start backing down, because they, oh, wait a minute. Here's a person that knows what he is, knows who they are, knows that I can't. Hey, I've had it. When you identify yourself. Many times we're praying about things, and I'm not minimizing prayer. We need prayer. But many times we need just to tell the devil and who we are in Christ and identify ourselves and tell him to get on down the road. Come on now. Anybody with me? You know, when we're in sickness, we can say, I am healed. Somebody said, well, you don't look like it. I am anyway. I'm not moved by how I look. I'm not moved by how I feel. I'm only moved by who I am in Christ and what Christ has done for me. When temptation comes, you say, wait a minute. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Get that mess out of here. When rejection comes, we can say, hey, you can reject me all you want to, but I'm accepted by God, and that's higher than anybody. Because of who we are in Christ. The important thing is who we are in Christ. When somebody wants to come in and try to condemn you for something in the past, you say, hey, I'm justified by Christ. There's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Saying I am is the strongest and the most powerful spiritual truth that you can get a hold of. Thank God for all of the other truths in the Word of God. And of course, all of it goes back to salvation, being born again and becoming in Christ. But until you really understand who you are in Christ, your faith doesn't even operate properly, because you don't know how to use your authority, because you don't know exactly who you are. You know, Denise was about, I don't know, 4 years old, maybe five. So she come running down the hall, she's going to her papa's at my dad's office. And somebody hollered at her and said, little girl, quit running in the hall. And she wheeled around and she said, do you know who I am? And wheel back around and run right past the secretary, what they call them assistants, I think, and run right into her pawpaw's office. She didn't ask anybody anything, because she knew who she was, because that's my pawpaw in there. And I have a right to be here, and don't you try to tell me otherwise. See, we need to get that same attitude. You ever notice that kids, when they realize who they are and somebody tried to tell them something, they don't even pay attention to them. Anybody know what I'm talking about? They just go on. There's one time, years and years and years and years and years ago, I mean, way back. And this guy was mouthing off and saying all kinds of stuff. And I looked at him and I said, you ever looked at the signature on the bottom of your check? Yeah, well, I am that guy, and I can do something about you. See, when the devil comes with all of his mess, you need to say, hey, you know who I am? I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. He's already whipped you. What are you trying to do? What are you trying to pull? Get out of here. See, you've got to begin to, with tenacity. You know, some people say, well, I'm righteousness of God in Christ. I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. They don't even believe what they're saying. You can tell by the tone of their voice if somebody really believes what they're saying. If they really believe it, they got some oomph behind it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Come on now. See, when we begin to say I am, the enemy can't steal from us. He can't destroy us. He can't keep us down. When we begin to declare I am, our identity, then we stand strong. We can't be moved. You know, back when I was growing up, they used to sing a song at church called I Cannot Be Moved, I Cannot Be Moved. Just like a tree planted by the waters, I cannot be moved. Come on. That's where we need to get because of who we are in Christ. Saying, I am. I am. I am. Say it, I am. Who God says I am. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. No problem. No situation. No fear. No nothing. Can overcome me. Because I am. Who God says I am in Christ. I am victorious. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, stand up. That ain't very long, but it's good enough. Okay. Hallelujah. I trust I stirred up your pure minds again this morning to who you are in Christ. Get a hold of that. I am, I am, I am, I am. I don't know, that just keeps ringing inside of me. I am. Tell the devil, I am. Hallelujah. Anybody getting a hold of that? Right? The Holy Spirit's trying to tell us something. The Holy Spirit's trying to get across to us that we don't have to mess around with all this stuff if we'll start identifying who we are in Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Heavenly Father, I ministered to these people a few moments on who we are because of what Christ did at Calvary. And help us all to grab a hold of that. And may we walk forward in victory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen, amen. Trust you got something out of that today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If you happen to be watching us online, or if you're in this congregation and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or you need to rededicate your life, I want you to just raise your hand wherever you're at. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. Just raise your hand wherever you're at. If you need Christ, you need to rededicate your life. And I want us all to pray this prayer together. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. He came. He lived. He died on the cross. He rose again from the dead. And he's alive and well in heaven today. You said in your holy word that if I would confess Jesus Christ as Lord, and believe these things in my heart, I would be saved. I confess them with my mouth. I believe them in my heart. And I thank you now, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, I am a new person in Christ. Amen and amen and amen. Praise God, praise God. If you're in this building and you prayed that prayer for the first time, or you prayed it in rededication, see one of these guys in these red shirts. Tell them about it. They'll help you get some material. If you're watching this online, you can go to your computer, the partner service at rhema.org, and tell us about it, and we'll contact you. Praise God. Don't forget who you are. Okay? Tonight at 6 o'clock right here. Wednesday night, hour of power, be here. Amen. Hey, go online to the bulletin and read the bulletin. There's job opportunities. There's all kinds of information there. But don't forget about, we haven't said a whole lot about We Care, but we've been trying to help a lot of people during this time. And so the We Care shelves over there are getting a little bit scarce, like they are in some of the grocery stores. And so, hey, let's help somebody out, you know. The Bible says if you have the wherewithal to do good and you don't do it, what does it say? It's not very good. All right. Hey, God bless you. We'll see you tonight, 6 o'clock. Hey, let's try to maintain some of our social distancing. Just sort of wave at people rather than giving hugs. I'll be so glad when I haven't seen some people, got to talk to some people that I normally see, because I get to go to the door and shake your hand. But I can't do that, so I'm going to shake hands with all of you right now. I'm shaking your hand. I love this congregation. I love preaching to you guys. God bless. We'll see you.